Early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. And it's the 23rd of February 2026. And we are diving into 2026. And the question that we are always asking is that, are you on the right track? What have you done? Are you putting on the right gear? We are greeting the economic movers, economic actors, and also those who are holding our economy. Always greeting the men and women in the uniform, security guards, police officers, military personnel, and everybody who protect us, particularly when we are sleeping, those who are protecting the economy. And we are always saying, economy without security is economy already lost, or is economy already, you know, vanished. That's why security should be part of the economy. We are greeting you. I understand most of you, you are awake and you are on your way to work, and some of you are returning home, and some you are continue pushing until the wheel fall off. And there is always a saying to say, there is no better time, there is no perfect time. What is necessary, the best time that you have is now. And there is nothing like waiting for a perfect moment, because you need to pull the trigger, you need to move. You need to make sure that you get that job done. You need to make sure that you get that project that you are given by the state completed. You need to make sure that, you know, you attend that interview. And you need to make sure that, you know, you put in that business proposal, because there's no right moment. There's no perfect time. Because sometimes procrastination is not only about laziness, but it's the fear of losing. It's also something that is caused by the fear of losing. But if we are able to take action now, we will not regret moving into the future. And we will not be able to be a regretful nation. Because, you know, there is a saying to say, when it comes to a dangerous place to be, people say it's a graveyard. Because they are saying a graveyard is a place where all the regrets are. It's where you have to regret about everything that you did not do, because sometimes you realize that it's just about actions. Most of the things that we go through, maybe 80% of the things that we go through, is about decisions. Because every day you are waking up, you have thousands and thousands of decisions that you are making, and that is defining our life. And it's quite important also to us to say, the decision that I'm making correct, the decision that I'm making going to take me to where I want in the future, or I'm just making a decision based on emotions and all these things. So, like any other day, we are gonna dive into what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening in the world, and indeed, what is our discussion for today, especially when we are going to look at the state of our SOE, state-owned enterprise. And I want to ask you a question to say, are we moving in the right direction? What have we done wrong? What is that we did not do right? And what can we do moving forward? Well, how come our SO is full of educated, technically proven to be technically competent people with all the MBAs, all the MPAs, all the qualifications, but we are not moving? You see what you hear. I don't even want to say it out. But it's not only in Namibia, but that should not also be an excuse of our not so competent. But we also have those who are performing well. We have also those who are hitting the ground running. But the question should always be asked to say, what can we do better so that 2026 should not be a year of we are still planning, or we are still looking at this, or we still have a committee, or we still have a commission which is looking into that. Because remember, we are still going to continue at that pace. We will not find our way, and by the time we are awake, we are already in 2030. And yeah, like what have happened last week, end of last week. And this thing, you know, when the board of peace of Donald Trump started, people thought it was not going to work, and I also doubt it. But it seems like there are people who are buying into that. There are states which are buying into that, and it's very scary, especially when you are comparing with United Nations, because the Western allies and also some of the African states, they have joined, and there were around 50 countries that attended the meeting, which is including Britain, Germany, Italy, Norway, Switzerland, and many others, which have happened, the inaugural meeting of Board of Peace. And the fundamental aim of Board of Peace was creation of peace in Gaza. Now you have 50 countries which have attended, and member countries you have already, number we have United Arab Emirates, you have Germany, you have Sweden, you have Norway, we have Egypt, we have Morocco, and interestingly, you also have Israel. And somebody may want to ask to say, why also having Israel in solution to Gaza? Or this is more than just a solution to Gaza, or is really a direct alternative to United Nations, because there is around 7 billion which was already pledged by the states which have attended. And let's see. And the question is always to say, what is Namibia position? What are we saying? Are we restrained? Are we joining? Or we are just looking? And if this board of peace come to full utilization, are we going to see the awake of United Nations, or is the death of United Nations? Because once they move on this side, then you have two parallel multilateral institutions. Here you have BRICS, which also existed to say it's not anti-Western. Then here you have a board of peace. Then it's like Africa now, we are at the center. You only have Egypt, Egypt and Morocco. But we have to see how many countries are going to join that board of peace. And Somaliland offers, on the other news, Somaliland offers US access to minerals as it pushes for recognition. So Maryland has offered, United States access to minerals as it pushes for recognition as the breakaway region of Somaliland continue to seek international recognition. It stated that on Saturday it was willing to give US access to its minerals and military bases. You know, in December, Israel became the first country to recognize Somaliland independent since it declared its autonomy from Somalia in 1991. And there have been a lot of criticism, especially the president of Turkey recently, when he visited Africa, was condemning this. But one of the diplomatic cards that Somaliland is playing, so giving access to minerals, access to its minerals, and also military base to US. And when that is done, it's not game over. Then you see, you need protection so that you can operate. Stated that our friends, if it's Israel or United States, explore the potential of minerals that we have, particularly the rare earth and strategic minerals, which we know are becoming very important for US. Then, those were some of the words from Kandar Hussein, that is a minister in the presidency of Somaliland. And when he was in the interview with, international media, and in that aspect, when you are calling for a military base to come to your country, and you are also calling for your friend, which is a friend of Israel, to come and recognize you. It's quite interesting. Maybe somebody may also want to ask to see, is Somaliland part of AU? Or is it recognized by the African Union? But you must be able to realize that with that aspect, it is still on the table. There was still a rejection. And yet to see how many countries are going to be in Africa without recognized by AU. In Africa, African Union is just saying we condemn, but we are not acting, looking at that aspect. And I don't know if the US is going to reject this, or it is going to accept this invitation to say, if you want to come up with a strategic military base, you can just come here. If you want access to rare earth mineral, you can come here. And that is needed for technology. And they know that the world now is at a competition to gain access to critical minerals, or to rare earth minerals, because people are no more speaking about diamond. People are no more speaking about silver. They are speaking about cobalt. They are speaking about lithium. They are speaking about tantalum. They are speaking about critical rare earth minerals that are needed for advanced technology or advanced equipment, such as military jets, such as super smartphones, and also other devices such as drones. Then you'll be able to remember that that is where the world is moving into. That's why currently as you are speaking, and you also be able to see, especially in today, the Villager newspaper, when there's a question asked to say, which one is critical? Does Namibia need to consider its option of buying shares in De Beers? Or is De Beers a horse which is about to fall? Is it a dead horse? Or is it going to be something which is going to be profitable? Because currently, as we are speaking in the world, the price of diamond continue to go down. And it's expected to go down to 75% IDEX. And be able to remember that there is a new competition. There is a new kid in the block that is rare earth minerals. And also, lab-made diamonds. And they are saying if they bring you two kinds of diamonds and you are not an expert, you will not even differentiate between a lab-made diamond and also a natural diamond. That's why you realize to say you can't be in the game forever. There is always somebody who can come and be number one at that game that you are playing. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we can come back and look at what we have for today. And today the question that we are asking is a very simple question to say, when it comes to state-owned enterprises in Namibia, where are we standing? What have we done in 2025? What is different in 2026? Are we sure that we are moving at the right direction? Do we need to advance? Do we need to change the game plan? Or we are progressing at an understandable pace? And the SOEs continue with corporate fighting? Or we are now stable and we are yet to see how things are going to turn out, because the strength of an SOE is the strength of the country's economy. Because everybody spoke about development of China. Everybody spoke about how China became so developed. But one thing that people are not speaking about is the strength of Chinese economy. The strength of Chinese economy is based on its SOE, its ability to use state machineries to make profit beyond the borders. If you see, you look at engineering, you look at construction, you look at transportation, then you'll be able to understand that. You look at food production, look at logistic, either is air or sea, you'll be able to realize that what is extended, the businesses that you see from China, 80% of them are SOEs, and they are collecting money for the state. And there's nothing wrong with that, because their development is based on, is the state able to make business? Is the state able to make business? And then in the question of Namibia, 2019, 2023, there have been a lot of things going on, and you do not know what was really going on, particularly with SOEs. CEO is being fired, chairperson is being fired, you have acting CEO, acting board chairperson, you have acting everyone, and you come to the point of a lot of things happen, then you're asking yourself a question to say, are we now turning into a mafia state, or we are moving in the right direction? But we also see an element of stability, and some SOEs, they stand, some they disappear from the face of earth, liquidated to the core. Then you are also asking yourself to say, where are we going, and what is 2026 has for us? And I would want you to listen to a very short clip too, especially when one of the most celebrated politician now in South Africa, the chairperson of South African Ado Committee, very diplomatic guy, Soviet Lenganyani. And you are also asking yourself to say, how did this guy came about? How did he survive all the politics of SA to that extent? Because he's one of the most celebrated guy. But he mentioned one thing, especially about the state institutions and also the infiltration of the system. And he stated something which is very shocking to say. What is more dangerous is not the mafia. What is dangerous is when you're going to report to the mafia because the institution is infiltrated to that extent that although that who is going to judge you is also that we are going to report to is a mafia. Say, no, the mafia are not important. It's when the mafia become the state. But it's not my word. You also need to listen to that. Then we move forward. So stay tuned because we are here under the hour of 8. And remember, the Villager newspaper is out and always making sure that you don't only like and share, but you also read, and make sure that you download the Eagle FM app, because that is one of the best way to access Eagle FM Namibia and be able to follow and be able also to make sure that you contribute to the conversation wherever you are, whether you are in Taipei, whether you are in Azerbaijan, whether you are in New York, you are in Jerusalem, or you are in Tripoli. If you are able to connect to internet and download the Eagle FM app to your app store and also your Play Store, then you can be able to continue contributing to the conversation and look at what are some of the new developments in the sector of economy, trade, politics, and also policy analysis.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere Urikoni Maundu Toto Ingida Ashike Kapeno Nweku Dite Opoye Ekukurile Oshafa Fana Nongeshe Faili Mehola Mo Iho Etike Kovano Ile Koshiwana Onongeshe Fa Yapumbwa Kukaraya Kovano Okupitira Mo Eagle FM Otuna Evi Tota Njuka Okukwetira Oipindi Konu Kwanda Doi Nawa Nune Udo Otukwetira O Special Angeta Shake Ngeshe Fa Omarudi Dayo Loka Opone Ushendi Fenawa Nokumona Oija Mwiri Nawa Ninge Pata Fanoana Monika Ko Eagle FM Onora Etatu Imwe Bali Heali Nola Natu Heali Bali No Heali Ileko Derewa Nora Etatu Natu Bali O Etatu Watatu Oma Felane Eagle FM The Eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. Me, David Shombe, and today we are looking at Namibia SOEs and also Namibia state agencies. And the question is only that, what is the strength of our SOEs and state agencies in 2025? What have been done? What are some of the most celebrated, SOEs, and what other things that are still a challenge in terms of, achieving our intended goals? Do we have effectiveness in terms of leadership? Do we have produced profit that we have, did we produce profit that has been, that is used to develop the state? Are we still stuck? Do we still have SOEs where the fight is still continuing? At what level are we? And also, when are we going to have some of the critical SOEs that the country cannot afford or not to have? Especially, I was very disappointed when I was reading it. Put a search on online and look at Namibia, for example. It's something that we all need to be blamed to say we have failed as a nation to maintain our airlines, whatever happened, whatever strategy which was used. And it's something that we should also learn from. And when you type in to say Air Namibia, they are saying it was an SOE owned by Namibian government under the Ministry of Public Enterprise. And that word that it was, it means that why it is not. That's a question that you should ask yourself to say, why it is not? Why it is not? Why the most poorest country in the world, the most poorest country in Africa, has an airline, but Namibia does not have an airline? Have you ever thought, have you asked yourself that question? What did we do wrong? And what are we going to do differently moving forward? And the other time, there had been a discussion, and the Minister of Works and Transport stated something to say, and Namibia is coming back in the form of Namibia Air, and there is already a committee in place. And the question is that, do we have a plan in terms of how we are going to govern it? Do we have a plan on how we are going to make profit out of it? Or is still going to be a loss of resources as, it's going to be a loss of resources. It is, has been the case of bailing out of almost 10 billion Namibian dollars to Air Namibia. Go and look at the records. Go and look at the final decision which was done to say, no, this thing is making us money. Yes, the planes are on air, but there is nothing coming. So the question is that, what are we going to do new in 2026 and moving forward? And we should ask all the SOEs, and it's not for me to judge everybody. It's for us also to come up with alternatives, also to say what is done wrong, what did we do right, and we can also praise those who are performing very well. Those who are performing very well in doing their job, we have them in Namibia. We have stable SOEs. We have stable SOEs in Namibia, and it's up to us to come and analyze this to say which one are performing well, which one need boosting, and which one need assistance. And are we also protecting our corporate guys? Because one of the things that we spoke about early this morning is in the case of Eskom, to say the man by De Ruta, Andre De Ruta, who was the CEO of Eskom, at one point they mentioned that Eskom was full of cadre deployed who did not understand the process of electricity generation, and it was only full of people who are serving their own interests. Because if you read his book, Truth to Power, 3 years in at the helm of Eskom, it's quite a very interesting book, because one of the things that he did is that once he became a CEO of that of Eskom Energy Electricity Generation Company in South Africa, and it's big because it's also one of the main institution which is supplying Namibia with electricity. One of the things that he wrote, if you read the first few pages of his book, is that when he came to power, he just looked at the parking of Eskom, look at the parking, and look at the cars, which are the Porsche, beautiful car, $1 million cars, and ask, and even the private secretary has a Porsche. Even a junior guy has a beautiful car, and ask yourself to say, now in comparison to how these guys are paid and the lifestyle they are living, then they realize to say, no, something is not right. Then look at the houses of these guys, and they are welcoming him to Eskom. Welcome to the corporate life. And what happened after, when he get into that system, you have to realize that there is a lot of things going on, especially when resources are deployed that were supposed to be used for the benefit of the entire citizens, then few individuals started using that opportunity. That's why if you have a country of more than 50 million people, then you have a shutdown of electricity for 3 hours and even 6 hours in a day, then you realize that something is not right. Even if you put the resources, because putting resources is one thing, having right people to manage resources is also the other thing. And when we are there, what have now happened in SA, especially with Eskom, is that what they did right, they appointed a new board. They have restructured everything, and they are now in the process of restructuring. Even Andrew De Ruta, who ended up a CEO wearing bulletproof and surviving assassination attempt, he came back and praised Ramaphosa to say, you guys are doing well now, and I'm very happy. Even if I'm now not the leader, things are now moving in South Africa. And it's a lesson to learn, to say, once you have proper leadership in place, once you have people with integrity in place, then results are guaranteed, especially positive results. Let us look at top score, then we move forward.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no wewe yako fikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimo shipagete. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opa uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha ko ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vilimwe danamibia oshipu ne ngono lando kashako oko KG imwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe mo shilongo ashishe ndeto SMS o shicha instant. Totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali efi afanueli otali hulmo milongo natu nali mwe amarija mondo maeveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano e mangono malandula fano odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
We are moving forward with early morning scoop. It's 46 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are here until the hour of 8. And there is one thing also that before we look at the progress done And I was very happy. I'll look a little bit on what the progress which have happened, especially at the Mitko. Because sometimes it's not about praising everybody. It's about seeing where there is progress, is to say. It's not only about Mitko, it's not only about the institution collecting or making profits, but it's also about the future of the country. Because we are at a time where we are saying we cannot afford to lose. And you also be able to see it even in today's Villager newspaper to say there are really people and experts who are saying Namibia we should try a lot of projects, but there are also those who are saying Namibia should prove itself to complete the project that they have started. What guaranteed us that starting every year a new project is going to succeed while we have those who we did not are complete. If we get our things right, then we can move forward. And I want you to just when I was indicating to say Soviet Renganyani, the chairperson of South African Parliamentary Ad Hoc Committee, and I want you to listen to what he has to say in just 2 minutes, especially regarding infiltration of institutions, and also to us to also look at to say what dangerous it is when we lose integrity, when we lose ethics, when we lose moral compass, because you find yourself in a situation where it look good to you when you are not utilizing the state resources effectively. It will go to you when you are enriching yourself, but it will also be dangerous when you reach a point where the whole system is rotten. That's why this guy was presiding over, or he is still presiding over, one of the most difficult case, particularly looking at the Parliament Ad Hoc Committee. It's a guy who is interviewing the Minister for Police. He's heading interviewing of judges and leaders of institution, head of police, not only police but head of crime intelligence and critical guys. But he came up to the conclusion, one of the interview, he's one of the most calm guy, but he also showed his concern about what he indicated to be a mafia system within the structure. Either it's a criminal justice system, either it's a corporate essay, and what need to be done. And then they stated one thing to say, no, the mafia is not what we are scared of. What we are scared of is a system that you do not know who you are going to report to. If the mafia is the one that you are going to report to, the mafia is the one that is going to judge you, then it's also going to be very difficult for you. And I want you to look at the whole interview yourself. And he says it's also going to be very difficult when you are operating that, because it's difficult also to find out the truth, because that is what happened when you have institution collapsing. That's what happened when you have SOE collapsing. That's what happened when you have the police system collapsing, and you find it also difficult for you yourself to understand where to go and also how to move within that particular state.
The mafia is not dangerous, but what makes the mafia invincible and dangerous is that the mafia has become the government. So it is now at the helm of the state machinery. It has all the apparatus. You can go and lay a charge at any prison, open a case. It will never go anywhere because the mafia is in charge of the government, either by capture, either by corruption or by association or by any form you can think of. And it's a very, very sad reality that we find ourselves in the situation we are. The criminal justice system, the police in particular, is like a state within the state. Once that pillar collapses, your state essentially ceases to exist.
Yeah, that is the Soviet Renganyani. the chairperson of South African ADO committee, Tigrari, that is dealing with one of the most critical cases in South Africa, police system, where he stated that the mafia is not a dangerous one, but what is dangerous is when the mafia become part of the system, then you do not know which one is which. But yeah, we are moving forward. I was indicating to you that last week attending the beginning of the 37th annual general meeting of MITCO, I was also happy to see, because progress is progress. I was happy to see, particularly looking at their integrated annual report, and also looking at what was presented by, especially by the deputy board of director, to say in terms of increment into revenue, because after we all know what have happened in MITCO, that I do not want to repeat, after everything that have happened, then the institution have to come up with a board approved turnaround plan. It's a turnaround strategy, just to come up with a backup plan when things are collapsing. You come up with a new plan to say, no, let us fix this. But what have happened in that aspect, and you also understand that they have a new acting CEO, what have happened is also that they have managed within that short period of time to increase the revenue by 55%. That is 1.87 billion, reaching 1.87 billion. And with a profit of 105 million, that is before tax, and 43 million after tax. And there is an increment in terms of numbers of animals slaughtered within the period reviewed, which is 83,000. Yeah, which is 83,112 animals. And looking at this aspect, maybe it's a question of saying, do we really need to be pressured for us to perform? Do you really need to put a gun on my throat for us to perform? Do you really need to fire? Do you really need to threaten me for me to perform? Or it should be within my DNA as a leader of a corporate institution? Or do we really need to send ACC so that I start performing? Because where is natural performance within our institution? And this is the question that I always like asking an institution such as NIDA to say, in terms of Namibia industrialized agency, industrialization agency, because you can't talk about Vision 2030, and people do not know about this, to say, if you are speaking about Vision 2030, a key driver of Vision 2030, because at the core of Vision 2030 is the industrialization, and who is driving industrialization? State or enterprise are at the center of that, not only to provide the resources and services, but are at the center of that. Now, NIDA is at the center of industrialization. The question is always to say, where are the books, and what profit was made so far? Was profit only done once in the past, now it's going to be 7 years, or we still have records of profit done? Where is the institution standing now? What is the performance of the institution? Because if we are not asking those questions, then we'll end up continuing until we end up, with the similar situation. But where is the progress now? Who is the leader there? Since the acting was also sent home, and what is new being done? Because it's one thing also, to start to be, not really to say accountable, but to trace our investment as a state, also to trace our investment. to say, if you put these billions of dollars at this institution, what is the profit which is coming out? If you, it's the same with education, to say, if you put these billions of dollars in this in the particular education, what are the results which are coming out? Because if we don't have that tracking mechanism, we should forget about progress in 2030. Because what is needed is progress. And can go and cut across all the sectors. So, dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are tracking progress. We are analyzing to say what is the strength of Namibia SOEs and what is in for 2026. And I do not want to speak about those who are doing very well. There are those who are doing very well, but there are also those who which we are still questioning to say, what is really happening? Are we getting where we want to get into? And one should also ask this critical question to say, there have been Penga Act, Public Enterprise and Governance Act, which has been under review, to say we are at a point where the state is willing to and has shown commitment, and we are seeing that on the face of the president and what direction she is giving, and the prime minister and everybody who is in charge is talking to say we need to do things differently. But one thing that we should also ask ourselves is to say, diamond is going down, but it's still a critical resource. We have oil and gas. Then we have who is at the center of oil and gas? Yes, you can discuss, you can debate, you can say it's a ministry, you can say it's a president, but there's an SOE which is charged with that responsibility on behalf of the state, that is NAMCO. To say, in the next 6 months to come, can we really just afford to have an acting head of NAMCO, or can we appoint that person full-time, or we find somebody to lead that institution full-time? Because that should be the direction to say, we need stability so that we can get resources. But if we continue to say, David is there acting, then Kanjengo is there again acting, then you put Helmut acting, what is the sustainability? Who is going to drive that long-term vision? Who is going to drive that long-term vision? It's the same. Currently, as we are speaking with, I was listening to Dr. Kennedy Shombe, who stated that Namibia, we are still standing a very good chance of accessing a market of Europe and America based on our status when it comes to foot and mouth disease. Then one of that institution, which is MITCO, and is performing. But the question is, are we going to have sustainable performance in that aspect? Why do we still have acting head of that institution? Because we need sustainability. If you have to drive the economy, if you have to bring a lot of money in the country, at least you must stay for a long time. Because of oil and gas, there is still policy under discussed. Rukato said they are not going to allow it, and many other MP or the Astega, they are going to analyze the Petroleum Amendment Act. But the question is that why do we still have acting people within critical institutions? Because can you really hold the person accountable? Because if you are acting, you are just there for that period of time. You're just there for that period of time. And there's something which I was saying, especially with it's not a problem actually. I just asked a question to say, I think the time when we were at the university, Mekiwete was the one who was leading Namibia Financial Institution Fund, NSFAF, and now the current CEO is there. But why can't you give a person a full-time position? He's still acting. Is it not 5 years now? And the danger of, and it's not only that, many other institutions too. And the problem of acting is that it's not, I'm just assisting. Why can't we give people proper time so that they can finish their terms and be able to be held accountable if they have done something right or something wrong. Because, and a lot of people don't get it to say when you are acting, you are just like an assistant school principal. The main school people are still interviewing. The main school principal is coming. It's not your seat. And, being a vice doesn't mean that you are the head. And people don't get this. So I think those are some of the things that we need to ask ourselves to say, if we want sustainability of and strength of SOE, why can't we have, full-time people that are accounting for what is needed and making profit? And can we also maybe conduct a study? And the question is, who's going to conduct the study to say, just a study to look around all the SOEs in Namibia to say which one is performing, which one is not performing, and which one need to be revived, which one need to be merged. Good morning.
Morning, David.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm well. How is Monday?
Ah, we thank God. Monday is raining.
It's not blue.
Blessing, showers of blessing.
It's not a blue Monday.
You know, when they say blue Monday, yeah. It's because maybe we are just now busy submitting the assignment.
Uh-huh.
And they did not catch up well. But I think blue Monday should be turned into a joyful Monday. Because you become more fresher.
Mm.
And at least if you are really busy. Not just busy there and there, but you are producing also tangible results. I think that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So the blue Monday, to me, is a different thing.
Okay.
I don't understand why, because I know very well that it's true.
Mm.
Even when you used to work there, you see sometimes like Monday. Many people, I'm talking about those times now where you have a lot of, before most of you people have come into the system. So you see you see most of the colleagues are white and colored.
Mm.
And a few, maybe like four in our directorate, ask the Honorable Chair.
Mm.
So many of those people, they come like Monday, the person is on sick leave. And then, you know, we as personnel now dealing with those personnel things on sick leave, where the doctor certificate is not there, and all this confusion. And so it's really, it decreases the productivity. I think people do say so because people are drinking, they have the marrying, partying, and things like that. I think maybe that's the connotation that is attached there. But if that is the
people are recovering,
it may have some waste, some ground. So otherwise, yes, the board of director, the board of director, to me, I've been following it also, the creation. And I think this is the aspiration that has been the will and the aspiration of the whole world.
True.
That yes, there must be peace there, Gaza, the Palestine, and all these things, so that people can socially they work together. They live in harmony, you understand? So now, if all the world is buying in into that process, that initiative, even though Trump was brought it, he has instated a lot of things. I don't know what is the difficulty for him to, so that they can have a consensus with Iran and the whole world.
Do you want us to join Board of Peace?
No, we have already there. We were there, but we know.
I'm asking, can we join Board of Peace?
We are already in the Board of Peace. We have already joined them. In fact, they are the one who have joined us. They are the one who have joined us. They are just following our example. South Africa, Namibia, you all know, guys, how complex it was for you to submit your case before the international.
But I'm asking myself, why do you have a board of peace about Gaza and you don't have Palestine there? You have also Israel, who is part of board of peace. Like I
hypocrisy.
Yeah?
Hypocrisy is always there.
Like I give you few bombs, you bomb them, then we come and solve the problem again.
Are you not the one who was telling me that this was something should have was giving some concern, right, for America to explore and things like that? So now, if even if that is the case, now you still want to have a deal, but the world is making business already. Why can't you just join the multilateralism that people are talking about? So that you can exist with other people. Why do you want to do it by force, military force, and all this kind of thing? That's not bed of peace. It's not bed of peace. To me, when people have been saying the tariffs up and down, now they are saying it was even done illegal. Now, you know, sometimes you can drink also chaotic in America themselves. So people are saying it's chaotic, it's not, I mean, I'm just saying.
But so is the intention wrong?
That's what?
For both of peace.
That's why I'm saying that, yes, the intention, if they are following, if they are in the step, the negotiation and all this dialogue that have been there, even when people are calling some things genocide and things like that, I think every language now that you read is genocide. But Gaza and what?
And okay. What is your view on Namibia? So is are we? What is your? I want your assessment, because today I'm asking a question. I'm not pointing out. The weakness. What do you think? Are you thinking that in terms of 2025, we have performed well with our SOEs?
Yeah, so...
Which one is your best performing SOEs?
Oh, which one is my best performing SOEs? So, okay, so I think there are those ones, really. I think the best one, I can say... so this GIPF is also an SOE.
Yeah, it's a fund, but it's operating as an SOE, yes.
So let's give them some, you know... let congratulate them, and then I think in terms of managing and administering those fund and the funds and the way they are growing, and I think it's now for us as because they're supposed to be creating employment, not them, not GIPF, but other state-owned enterprise. So they should be creating revenue, more big revenue coming into the state coffer. And they should be creating employment, facilitating some of those employment. So it should be like the other ministries. You can also see some ministries creating income generating activity for community development, rural development, and issues of that nature. So this would also, it's not necessarily just to give dividends or whatever they give to the state and what.
And
no, that's nothing
in the and they should also not lose money anymore.
Of course. So now we are going to talk about the boards, the leadership now. The boards. If the boards and the people are competent, like you're saying, and they are really exposed to some of this, you know, TOT. Workshop and all these things. And I'm sure they can, especially in your area now. It's also very important because there was a time that people were not applying to become board of director. So the advice goes and goes and goes until they pick those ones who might not be competent enough.
What about KEDA deployment? Are you still believing in KEDA deployment? Because Africa is starting to stop KEDA deployment. We are deploying our comrades strategically to save.
Yeah, because people are, you know, the problem is that it is us who put the leadership
You know, what I'm asking, ne?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that question.
Did you get my question?
Yeah. You said that they are giving now the job to the comrades.
It's not really. You can say it that way, but it was the aspect of saying, okay, we have comrade Hermut, who okay did not make it to parliament or did not make it to any local authority, but maybe he has an MBA here, but you are going to position him somewhere so that he will be able to, you know.
I support that. I support.
Are you supporting that?
Yes, I am.
But why should the board member need to be politically connected? He's not going
if you have given me an example in South Africa.
Yeah.
In you know that's the academy, this is Nelson Mandela Academy to have to do with the law now and issues like that. So if you want to give an example of South Africa, I think that one is very straightforward because you can see how the country could have been stabilized. And I think Namibia was not going to be spared. I'm not so sure whether it's very spared if we have things that like that are happening. Yeah. So there are people who really want to make sure, maybe regime change, for example.
Yeah.
And you see how people were being killed and shot there. If we cannot reform our security clusters and all the governance structures very well, then we have all these things that are happening in Kenya and things like that. You have heard those, your friends, who are saying they went there in Kenya and all this and did all this. Or just follow the kind of history, man. So that you don't necessarily disturb the peace
indeed
that people are enjoying.
Indeed.
So you see what is happening. So it's us. It's for you guys now to get in the system so that you make sure that you know, otherwise you will not enjoy peace.
Okay, thank you.
Good. So the leadership, so I've mentioned about GIPF, but what you are saying is that even if they are creating so money, big money, I will go there to guys, are you crafting up your business funding proposal? Kanjo Kampanyoka has already called us. You must call him to come and repeat that thing so that you guys move and the people go and get that money and invest locally here, isn't it?
No, he's coming in the next program. You missed him.
So ask him that question. Come with him.
No, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming with Oshoveri.
Yeah, but the next time you come with him because it's business and economic sector to see how have you been performing. And in terms of disseminating this kind of information,
so you're coming to assist me.
No. Oh. So you are doing a wonderful job, and I'm sure the whole country, everybody's happy.
Okay, thank you.
God bless.
All right. Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And that is what was happening. Before we move forward, let us look at IMBA. Today we are looking at SOEs to say which one is your best performing SOEs and what do you need from 2026, particularly from the state institutions.
Great news! IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3-month subscription, 10% discount for 6-month subscription and 25% discount for 12-month subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Hello Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are looking at SOE, state-owned enterprises, and their performance. And apart from GIPF, so one of the institutions which hold most of the assets, financial assets in Namibia, it's quite good, but also need to look at even that smaller scale of losing funds or losing an investment. It's also need to be dealt with to say, okay, we understand you, but at least hold that finance very well, hold those assets and investment very well, so that you understand that where we are now, we are not at a point where we have to lose even $1, because we need more. And I cannot wait to listen to what Memesha Fuda has for us in her coffer. She has been very quiet, and understand she is busy with distributing, and wish her strength that we'll be able to navigate through this complicated and unpredictable economy of Namibia. Because when she's going to present the national budget, that is what we have in our shisha, and which we need to use wisely. And pricing has always been with Namra has been doing a good job, but I was looking at the performance, particularly in correcting beyond its target and hitting the target, and that Shivute is doing a great job. But I was also looking at ACC recent activities to say some of the colleagues are there, but that the noise also picking up some of the guys from Namra, some guys who were picked up by anti-corruption commission, especially the small ranks, and maybe it's to intensify that, to say with that it's still operating as an SOE, its effectiveness in hitting its target, I think although there are so few apples which are not that good apples, I think that is what is holding our line, particularly in correcting of funds. Because honestly, if you look beforehand, when it was, I don't know, how was it called when it was in a ministry? Was it tax revenue department or something? But beforehand, maybe I had problems with our colleagues from China there. Some did not want to bang with us. They were just taking the whole profit without being taxed. And there have been a lot of cases of people invading tax. But with really Namra, just to say, intensify your fight. But that does also not mean that you should also apply the same pressure to infant businesses, because infant businesses, they have been always saying to say they are the least disadvantaged institutions because they are trying to grow. Then here is the taxman trying to expand. Here is a taxman, although it's necessary, but at least special treatment so that infant business grow, because that is what is holding us. Because Was it last year when there was tax without borders, or tax inspectors without borders, where that the same indicated that, you know, some of these international companies, when they come to Namibia, they hire the best lawyers, best analysts, and the best guys, and they invade the tax. That's why he was indicating that now we are working with our counterparts from international, so that they can be able to assist us, because tax is necessary. But it's not only about tax, but it's also about the stability of the state, because funds, finance, money is what is needed. Because without money in this economy, we are not going to build anything. But on top of money is also effectiveness and also accountability. To say, can we please build more effective SOEs than having SOEs which are not profit making? Because if you have an institution which established for 6 years and only made profit once, really, the question is that what is the reason of its existence? Can it just become a department or a section within a certain ministry? Maybe it can be run properly. Because if you are a regulator, yes, you are fine. But if you are a profit-making institution with assets, billions of assets with the values of billions, and you are not making profit, why should you exist? Because you are just milking. Can you not just integrate those people to the, can you not just integrate those people to the line ministry so that we can move forward? And yeah, let's look at a short commercial break. Then we can be able to look at, what we have in the Villager newspaper for today. What we have in the Villager newspaper for today. Before that, after the commercial break, we'll look a little bit at, what happening to Wagner, what happening to Wagner Group. This, you know, happening to Wagner Group. And, for those of you who do not know Wagner, Wagner has been, it's a group of, you can say it's a mercenary group or it's an independent military contractor. If you have to put it that way, it's an independent military contractor which is linked to Russia and has been at the front line in Ukraine. It's been at the front line in Ukraine. And, you know, one of its leaders or its leader, that is, Prigozhin, who was at one point, who actually died in a plane crash, was at one point, led a mutiny against the Russian army because he was saying that no, his men were not treated properly, were not given the right weapon. And he was a guy who was marching toward, toward Moscow until the negotiation was successful that he would leave Russia. But after his death, it stated that, the Russian SVR, Foreign Intelligence Agency, has taken over the Wagner Group. And remember that Wagner is not only operating outside Russia, but it's here in Africa. It's here in Africa. But we'll look into this after a short commercial break before we go to what is in the Villager newspaper. Because remember, war has also created entrepreneurs. Because they are saying war is an expensive business because a construction company, if you're in construction, remember that it's construction, it's electricity companies, it's a weapon company. These are some of the business that you have for the next thousand of years to come. Because after destruction, you always need somebody to construct the road. After destruction, you always need somebody to construct, somebody to put on electricity, or somebody to, you always need the pipe fitter, you always need the plumber. That's why if you look at the transformation of careers, understand that since the beginning of time, the plumber has always been there, the builder has always been there, the carpenter has always been there. Then you understand that an artist has always been there. Unlike some of the careers which come or change with time and disappear with time. But we're going to look at that and move forward. And so to look at war entrepreneurs, you see, war created entrepreneurs, military contractors, and what they are called the mercenaries and the dealers. To look into this and also see where is Wagner standing now and how is its relationship with Africa. And move forward.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM in any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi. Dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the remaining scoop. It's 28 minutes, but they are of 7. And you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. And it was stated that Russian SVR, Foreign Intelligence Agency, has taken over Wagner Group. Operation in Africa, and it's in countries such as Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, Republic of Guinea, and this is after the death of Yevgeny Prigozhin, who was known as leader of Wagner, and used to be a former ally of Vladimir Putin. But this is not only taking over, but it's also aspect of showing competition, particularly in terms of Africa. Because remember that you have France, you have Russia, you have the United States of America at the center of Africa. But in this aspect, let us look at NPH, then we go forward.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Yeah, stated that Russia took over Wagner operation in Africa. And seems like there is still competition when it comes to who has influence in Africa. There is influence in Africa, either is in terms of military, either in terms of economic relations, in terms of diplomacy. Because remember, last year when Emmanuel Macron of France came to G20, he took a trip around Africa, especially to the former French colonies. And his aim was to renew the relationships Now at the center of Africa, what we have now is that after the coup of from 2020, when Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and many other countries overthrew their government in Africa, one of the first thing they have done is cutting ties with France. And France, international or multinational companies, particularly those which are operating in the mining sector, and immediately take trips to Russia, and sign new agreements, especially regarding military and other services. But really know that Wagner has been the center in Africa, has been there providing security, but it's now that. That Prigozhin is no more. It's now in the hand of Russia. But also the question of asking to say, is there now a competition for who is controlling Africa? Because if you look at Nigeria, even though at first they denied that they did not need assistance of US, things got out of hand until to the point where they get assistance from US. He deployed a team, deployed hundreds now of military men to fight the jihadist. And also to ask the question to say, for how long is Africa now becoming the new Afghanistan? Where Afghanistan was, there is no empire that did not go to Afghanistan. Especially looking at strategic interest to say controlling that region, you control the resources. Control the trade routes, also control the influence. But for how long Africa? The question is always been to say, for how long Africa going to depend on external world to protect itself and also to feed itself? Have you ever seen a mercenary group in the Middle East from Africa? Or do you even have one? Have you ever seen even a security company from Africa working in the USA? And I'm just giving an example, and maybe G4 in the US, or let's say one of them maybe security companies, even just any security company that you can take to work or assist in the United States of America or in Brazil. But why is it always us that we are being protected, and are we really getting protection? Are we really getting protection? It's only the question that we need to look at. And let us look at the Villager newspaper for today. To say every Monday morning, we are giving you context on economic affairs to say, what do we have on the paper for today? What do we have in the Villager newspaper for today, especially when it comes to economic affairs? And on top of the Villager newspaper, back the right horse, nuclear energy or stakes in the beers. And Namibians, especially the experts in the field, ask a question to say, looking at the current situation where we are, particularly with the Namibian economy of 2025, the domestic economy not grown above 3%, and the number expected to be given to be below 3%, maybe it's 2.9. With this current situation and with our ambitious goal of NDP 6 of creating 500,000 jobs, and on top of that, also to realize our vision 2030. What are some of the key areas that we need to look at? And the conversation was around the mining sector, particularly looking at uranium that have continued to grow on its demand, and has continued to grow on its global market. That's why Namibia, being the third largest producer of uranium, made it also a center of discussion to say, how can we add value? How can we add value to our uranium? What is the sustainability of continued production of uranium. And at the center of that, an expert in the mining industry, economist and trade analyst, and also small-scale miners who looked at which one is the right way, especially when it comes to uranium. And you'll be able also to get the full context of this conversation, especially looking at the possibility of starting a nuclear plant. And I remember correctly, one of the speeches of the president in parliament indicated that although there is no time when it comes to a nuclear plant in Namibia, the discussion has already started, and Namibia should not shy away from utilization of its God-given resources. And you'll be able to see that the analysts has agreed on the need for Namibia to have a strong energy supply, but they have differ in terms of the process. Some are indicating to say it may be risky, and some are also indicating that it is very important, but not now, because we cannot gamble when we do not have money. Some have indicated that no, although nuclear plant is important, where are we going to get the investment? And when you get the investment, what about other projects that you still have and they are already standing? Because it's good to have a vision, but it's also bad to continue dreaming, because stated that it's only the old people who are allowed to dream dreams, but a young generation or a futuristic leader must speak vision, because vision is what drives people to say, okay, we may have a lot of uranium in Namibia, but is it worth it to start already investing while we have already standing projects that are not yet fruitful? Because remember, you have oil and gas, you have green hydrogen, you have other projects, you have lithium, and you still have projects that are at the initial stage that did not even bring up about a dollar yet out. Then some analysts are saying, okay, let us wait, let us see what they can do in other sector, then you put that on hold. Some are saying we should start on a smaller scale, but you should also be cognizant about the waste of uranium, and also about international laws on energy. For more information, go to page 2 of the Villager newspaper, and you'll be able to get to that context. And page 3, there's space for enrollment, University of Namibia, especially with a Bachelor of Sport Coaching. Look at the page 3 of the Villager newspaper, then you'll be able to get content of that to say those who want to get into coaching, those who are interested in sport, you need to go to school. People now require a degree for you to be a coach and understand also what is it, especially when it comes to either football or any other sport codes, because remember, sport coaching, it's not only about soccer. A coach is everywhere. You can be a boxing coach, you can be a rugby coach, because everywhere you need a coach. Because while you have people who are on the pitch, while we are celebrating Cristiano Ronaldo or celebrating Peter Sharurire, calling him Shasha for scoring goals, people will likely forget about the coach behind that, because there is before you have a superstar in sport, there is somebody who provide direction, or you may be talented, but you do not know which position fit for you. You do not know. You do not know how you can be an or how you can perform to the best of your abilities. Because if you look at the guys like Floyd Mayweather, in most cases, at his corner of the ring is always his father who is there, who understand how this guy is punching people. But you need a coach for you to win. You need somebody who watch you, who position you, who also study the whole game. And Namibians, I know, we are very interested in sport analysis. And I'm always impressed by moving around, especially fellow men and also some women. When it comes to sport, you find a guy analyzing football, then you think maybe this guy was at the same meeting with Carlo Ancelotti, or the same meeting with Jose Mourinho, Alex Ferguson, or Arteta. And Namibians are very good at that. But why can't we take it to the next level? And you find people who can predict the sport outcomes. You find them who can analyze the strength. And it looks like an easy thing, but you see that Namibians are very interested in sport. But the question is also that we are asking ourselves, do we have a platform to exercise that? Do we have a platform to expand those knowledge? Do we have soccer field in Namibia? Because if you are able to analyze how Manchester United is positioned, how Chelsea is positioned, which one is likely to score goals and which one has strength, why can't we study these things? And when we study this thing, why can't we get a platform also to make money out of these things? Because if there is a Bachelor of Sport coaching in at UNAM, as it is indicated at page 3 of the Villager newspaper, why can't we have experts in this area? Maybe you can produce best coaches in Namibia, as we have them, because I was reading somewhere where it's indicated that, we also have best coaches in Namibia who even coach abroad, but you can only get that when you read more and you do your own research. So, page four, it's indicated that Namibian car consumes around 1.1 billion liters of petrol annually. 1.1 billion of liters of petroleum annually. That is what Namibian are consuming. And if you want to understand how much money we have made, it's quite very easy. It depends on where you are. Just take this 1.1 billion liters, then you multiply with how much a liter of petrol, costing, and you can get the rough calculations, although they are not costing almost the same, all of them, but you can get the rough calculation how much are we able to make in that aspect, and also go deep into that context. So, there's an article by Nginameno Varihangar, which is looking at data from the regulator of petroleum products, show that Namibia annual consumption refined petroleum products amount to roughly 1.1 billion, most of which is diesel, which is 70%, and the rest is petrol. So, let us look at Namibia Mill, then we can continue.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Yeah, it's 45 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving with Early Morning Scoop. And you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401, so that you can air your view, ask your question. Constructive criticism is what drive development, and exercise your democratic rights with freedom of expression without offending others, because you must always be trending carefully. Because your rights does not mean that you should torment, offend, insult, and also, make other people angry, but trend within those established lines. And yeah, let's look shortly at a short commercial break, then we'll continue with Early Morning Scoop. There's a caller on the line. Hello.
Aditi, Tatekuru.
Yeah, Mahona.
Natunigika nandoka makontoa ningu kana mkolonga.
Yeah.
Kana mkolonga.
Wakala mhostela wa ningu, tuningu na mkolo.
My friend,
do you know that time of, you know, when we were at high school?
Yeah.
Namkoro is not necessarily used for repeating of grades, but you know that time when you go and get food and there is always this guy who always got for the second round. Do you understand?
Yeah. Even if you see people distributing resources.
Yeah.
So there are always this kind of, it's not equitably distributed.
Okay,
my question was, since you were asking me about those issues and things like that, what is happening there? You know, there is a serious kind of reform in terms of law, policies and procedures and whatever. So you did ask that one, and I know for me, my own assessment and my own view on that one, I said I can speak for that because of the deliberate, you know, derailing of program and project, just to maybe for political reason, I don't know. Well, is that for economic gain? When you look at what, for example, the example of South Africa that you just narrated it, and is it something that you can just, I understand everybody, even if you, how many comrades are there? Maybe they are few, maybe they will be more this time around, and they will be more honest.
Yeah.
Good.
No, I hear you. The question has always been to say, what can you do, what can we do differently? Because, I'm also not a guy who always believe in blaming or to say we must blame people or we should continue taking people to jail. Let us look at moving forward because people think a successful system is the one that have police officers which are catching criminals, for example. Just for example to give. But the question is that apart from that, what is the long-term impact of that? Because if you have an effective ACC and you don't have effective business schools that is teaching corporate guys how to manage public finance, then you will not build the country.
Exactly. You see, because that shouldn't just be applicable too much on the those who are legal professions and whatever. No, it must be a cross-cutting issue.
Yeah.
Big one.
It's the same thing when you are saying, no, prosecution must be intensified and the perpetrators of JBV must there must be harsh punishment. Some people are even saying death penalty must come. But the question is that what is the long-term impact of that?
Professional, ethical training.
Because you need the 20 years ahead, then you understand that it's not only about me angry because my relative is becoming a victim of that. But in terms of long term, because if you have a social ill, how can you move in that? It's the same with SOEs we are speaking about to say, let's say everybody who got illegal tender, we empower ACC and start arresting everybody. Where are we going to move instead of looking forward?
That's why in South Africa, they are creating those kind of institutions to address these good corporate governance issues.
Yeah.
so that you can have some ethical kind of, you know, those principles, those values, you know, norms.
Yeah.
So you just, so you create new things. I know you, this is a beginning.
Because you know what is contradictory also in this, you know, modern system.
Yes.
You let me somebody invade, somebody, invade the text, for example, and you take this person to jail.
Yeah.
This person, you are now going to feed him with the text that is paid by others. Instead of just taking out some of the resources. Yeah. No, this person, you are now going to milk your country again more than, you should have done. But it's complicated. Yeah.
I think we see that they only reformed well when they come from some of this experience. But I'm saying that the lack of institution to empower people with this entrepreneur skill, and you're also empowering them on these ethical issues, you know, how to conduct the law. You the law. Because the person, I understand that there are those who understand the law and they circumvent.
Yeah.
But those ones, it's easy to deal with them. But if you bring up those institutions to create an awareness into the parliamentarians and all those people, just like Nelson Mandela's academy, what is he focusing? What is this? Another thing he said, they teach them about rights and not only rights. I think issues, ethical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And a good governance kind of something like that.
Okay, thank you.
So create those ones, man, and make them more popular in our interaction.
Mm.
Good.
Yeah, looking at page 6 of the Villager newspaper, 4G and 5G will enhance connectivity. 5G and 4G will enhance connectivity. That is a word from a tech analyst. And there's an article by Lois Ashimi that is looking at the Communication Regulatory Authority of Namibia announcing decision to phase out 2G and 3G network over the next 4 years. And that is providing a technological shift. When you look at what computer scientists such as Thomas Shuweth and others have to say, especially when it comes to 4G and also 5G connectivity, because internet matters, because internet now become like a human right. In this modern world, it's also become like fuel, because without internet, you are not able to do a lot of things. But just ask yourself, if you take yourself 100 years ago, state would have been functioning without even internet connectivity. But now, you need the connectivity. It's almost impossible to connect to people and also communicate to people. And looking at sport, Scale Up Namibia official opening office. Scale Up Namibia official open office. Scale Up Namibia, that is Sun, open its office in Windhoek on Friday afternoon at the office located in FCC building and used by Namibian entrepreneur to gain access to international market. And it's interesting to look at this thing, especially looking at national news, and also to say, what does it mean? Can you visit Scale Up Namibia and this innovation hub, incubators, accelerators, and also the collaboration of universities? What are some of the key areas that Scale Up hub is is focusing on? So, and there's only an article on young cyclist shine at 40th Nedbank Cycle Challenge. There have been a competition from young cyclist, especially that Nedbank Challenge, to say young people as young as 17 years old, 18 years old, they become participant in this challenge. And it's quite a very important development, especially when it comes to the love of sport. especially when it's coming to seconding, and we'll be able to see who won, who got an opportunity. Get a copy of the Villager newspaper and look at page 8. And we have jumped page 7, that is looking at the residents of Windhoek, which are encouraged to turn waste into income, because now there used to be a case of when somebody is picking cans, it's not fine or did not make it in life. But in this time, when you look at the window, when you wake up early in the morning, you realize to say, even somebody who did not go to school can be able to make $400 if he's active. Just take those cans, use the cans, then you'll be able to take them to where they are needed, particularly waste management centers, and you'll be able to get your money. There's no more this case, Kucho Notatore Endosha. Now Endosha have money. Just get an opportunity. Wake up early. Get those cans. Even a youth who does not have money to go to university, sometimes you'll be able to understand. I just need to wake up early. And you see people are now looking at the bins and dustbin and check where they can find few cans. But that is money now. And that is the beauty of recycling projects. This is the beauty of also benefiting from the recycle. And yeah, look at industrial briefs. Look at the industrial briefs at page 9. MTC wants 4,000 reusable plastic bags. Then you also find another one on corridor diversification. No longer optional. That is from a corridor group. Rehoboth receive its own build it. Rehoboth receive its own build it. Then you also look at... It's an opinionated article by Ephraim Shimbari. That is looking at, does constitutional governance do justice to traditional governance? It's a critical question for constitutional governance and traditional governance. Who is doing justice to who? It's an opinionated paper by Ephraim Shimbari. Look at that, And page 11, you find Yusuf, he said, you want real good chicken at for 2 kg at $99.99, just $100 Namibian. Also look at top score, 10 kg at $109. You look at Porana Macaroni, that is 3 kg at $74.99. You look at, Rice King, just at $39.99, you get your 2 kg. There is a combo of 5 kg marathon sugar, 5 kg brown sugar, 5 kg super maize meal, 5 kg bokomo, fat cake, wheat flour. And nice rice, 5 kg, just at $299. Get your money, get your product, and feed your family. And you will not regret that, dear listeners. That definitely brought us to the end of our conversation. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the big mic, so that the big mic will be able to unpack the day. And for me, David Shombe, say bye-bye for now. See you around. Take care of yourself and ask yourself a question. What are you doing for your country instead of what the country can do for you? And see you around.